I would like this morning to cover this five steps to salvation. We aren't, it's been a while since we've had that one. And for myself, I'm kind of forgetful. I don't know if you are or not, but I need to go back and refresh my mind considerable. Any organization that I can think of, they have certain steps for members to take in order to get from entry level to the top, don't they? For instance, Alcoholics Anonymous has 12 steps. And it's designed to take one from being a drunk to sobriety. The church has what I feel is 5 steps. And they're designed to take one from being an alien sinner to salvation. We cannot omit any of those steps. All of them are equally important. Some might say that some are more important than others, but they're all given by Jesus, and I think they all carry equal weight. At least I'm not ready to say some instructions carry less weight. Are you? I don't think so. I know we must grow and advance, or we risk going back into the world, back into sin. But I think it's important to go back occasionally, refresh our minds on the basic principles of our salvation. So what are these steps? The first is, to me, very obvious. We must hear. If we don't hear the gospel, there's just no way to know about it, is there? There are those who wanted to know what they needed to do in order to have salvation. There's still those today who want to know the same thing, aren't they? They want to hear what steps they should take to ask about this. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 19. Let's start reading about verse 16, read through 22. Talk about the rich young ruler, the rich young man. It's a very familiar story. It's used often. Let's look at it again. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Start with verse 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He wanted to know what he needed to do, didn't he? Same thing I wanted to know. Same thing a lot of people wants to know. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He knew there's still something lacking, didn't he? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He came to Jesus and asked him what to do in order to have eternal life. He wanted to hear. And Jesus told him to obey the commandments, and which one? What did he answer? Read verse 20 again. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He knew something else was needed. Jesus told him what he needed to do in order to be perfect or complete. Give everything he had away and follow him. But what was his response? Verse 22 says, But the young man, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He wasn't ready to pay the price. Are we ready? Did this young man ever fully comply with what Jesus told him to do? We don't know. We can only hope that he did, since the record does not tell us. So what else does Jesus say concerning hearing? He wanted everyone to hear, didn't he? He sent his apostles to preach to the Jewish people first. Find that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through 7, if you want to turn there and read it. Would he have done that without wanting the people to hear? After his resurrection, before he returned to heaven, he made provision for all people to hear it, didn't he? All people in the world hear the gospel when he gave us the Great Commission. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Let's read verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Would he have given this command without wanting the people to hear? I don't think so. This command is repeated in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, almost verbatim. You may want to mark this scripture as we'll refer to it again. It also contains another step. Now, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, also stresses the importance of hearing when he says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. He says, "How shall they hear, or how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Really, obviously, the first step to hear. But what are we to hear? Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 again. Jesus says, "All things that I have commanded you." It's also covered really well in 1 Corinthians when Paul tells us in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, about himself. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He said that's the only thing he was going to know. So the Corinthians heard from Paul of Jesus and his crucifixion. Chapter 5 of Romans points out why Christ was crucified, doesn't it? For our sins. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man one would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So have we heard? Yeah. I think we've heard this morning. If we haven't heard before, and I think most of us here have heard before. Logic tells us the first step is to hear. Scriptures tell us we must hear and what we must hear, don't they? There are other scriptures we could use in this, but I feel this point has been made, well covered. So what is the second step? Yeah. Our second step is to believe what we have heard, isn't it? If we don't believe, we certainly will not comply with all of the steps. Or any of them. Not only logic dictates the next step to be belief, scriptures also tell us in various places that we must believe. Will turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8, and let's read verse 24. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And that, brothers and sisters, is Jesus talking. Telling us that we'll die in our sins if we don't believe that he's who he said he was. If we don't believe everything that we've read. There's no remission of sin if we don't believe. And still in the book of John, back up to a very familiar passage of Scripture, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm going to skip down and read verse 18. It tells us plainly, "He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Also the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 16, tells us, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Just four scriptures with Jesus' own words telling us to believe. There are other verses telling us that we must believe. And I think we've covered enough, you get the point. Jesus tells us to believe. The Apostle Paul tells us also to believe, doesn't he? Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Let's read verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So clearly, we are to believe the good news of Christ. We could go on and list other scriptures which tell us to believe and what will happen to us if we don't believe. I feel our point here has been made. So what's the next step? The next one is repentance. After we've heard and believed the gospel of Christ, become aware of our status as alien sinners, we repent of those sins that we've committed. If we don't repent of them, there's no salvation for us. So what does repent mean? Webster's dictionary states, "To feel so contrite over one's sins as to change or decide to change one's ways. To feel sorry or self-reproachful of one's ways." Strong's Concordance gives it as regret also. I think we can say that to repent is to feel great sorrow for our past actions and change our ways to not repeat those things. We're told throughout the New Testament to do this. John the Baptist in his preaching tells us this in Matthew chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus also preached the same message, didn't he? Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 is occurring after his temptation by Satan, after his baptism by John. It says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Again, Jesus tells us to repent or we shall die in our sins. We'll turn to Luke chapter 13. Let's read verses 2 through 5. "And Jesus answering said unto them, 'Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom this tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." In Acts chapter 17, Paul repeats this command of God to repent. Chapter 17, verse 30. The Apostle Paul tells us that God used to wink at ignorance. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He says, all men everywhere, not just a few here and there, but all. So if we want salvation, then this step is it must do as well, isn't it? After we've heard how Jesus is God's Son and died for us, after we believe what we have heard, became convinced of our status as alien sinners and repented of our sin, what's the next step? We got to confess our belief in Christ, don't we? Writing to the church at Rome, the Apostle Paul stresses both belief and confession. Turn to Romans chapter 10, let's read verse 9. says here, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confession of Jesus is very important, isn't it? Paul says if we believe and confess, we will be saved. What else is said of confessing Jesus? Turn to the book of Luke chapter 12 and read Jesus' words concerning this. Luke chapter 12, let's read verses 8 and 9. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. In this book, Jesus says to angels of God, and in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, he says his Father in heaven. I feel he's saying the very same thing in both accounts of this, just a little bit difference in the wording. Confess me before men, and I will confess you. Deny me, and I will deny you. Do you want to be denied by Jesus? I don't think so. I don't. Book of Acts, chapter 8, the account of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. This confession is made by him before his baptism. Philip had been teaching him Jesus as they traveled. Acts chapter 8. Let's read verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made his confession there before he was baptized. So confession of belief in Jesus was certainly made in this example. In fact, I believe all the steps so far have been demonstrated here. This man heard the gospel. He believed it. Although not stated by him confessing and wanting to be baptized, it feels that he repented of his sins. After this confession, he took the final action, which is the action of baptism, isn't it? This is the point where our sins are washed away, where we're forgiven. There are those who say baptism is not required for salvation. And those who say yes, it is required. There's controversy as to how baptism is done, whether it's by immersion, at what age you're baptized. Some say all different things. Some have the practice of baptizing infants. But before we leave the account of the Ethiopian eunuch, let's notice a few points concerning his baptism. To begin with, he made a conscious decision to do this, didn't he? Can an infant make a conscious decision? No. He made this decision after he learned of Jesus and believed what he had learned. Acts chapter 8, start reading in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. What happened here? First, he learned of Jesus, didn't he? So he heard. He obviously believed. He made a conscious decision to be baptized. He confessed Christ. They went into the water. Water was used for baptism, and it was by immersion. It was not pouring or sprinkling, or simply dipping your fingers in it, the water, and touching somewhere on the body. We don't know his age, but the record calls him a man of Ethiopia. So he was not an infant, was he? An infant could not make the conscious decision of baptism, could he? Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist. If baptism is not important, why did he do this thing? He also gave the commandment for us to be baptized. Remember what he said in giving the Great Commission? Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Ghost." Mark 16:16 states, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And Jesus gave the command after his death, his burial, his resurrection, just prior to returning to heaven. So it was given when his kingdom was established. It is a requirement for salvation. There's other scriptures giving this command also. Peter gives it on the day of Pentecost after he preached the first gospel sermon and was asked what to do. Acts 2 and verse 38 says, "And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Paul was baptized at Damascus by Ananias. It's told in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So baptism is the point in time when our sins are taken from us. Paul washed away his sins by baptism. He tells us further in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, should we?" No. Summation, there are five things that must occur for us to go from being an alien sinner to salvation. Perhaps rather than calling them steps, we should simply say, these things must happen. We must hear the gospel. We must believe it. We must repent of our sins. We must confess our belief in Jesus Christ before men. And we must be baptized with water by immersion. When these things occur in our lives, we're saved at this point. We must continue to study and grow spiritually. If not, we risk going back into the world and back into the sin.